Good morning. This is the first chapel of Spiritual Life Week, and the theme for Spiritual Life Week stemmed out of our overall theme for the year, Who Do You Say That I Am? So as we continue to delve into who Jesus is, we discover that justice is indeed at the heart of what it means to follow Jesus. So may you be challenged today as we encounter this theme, Justice and Jesus. Why should I care? Sabrina Dorman will be sharing with us today. She's from the Shenandoah Valley. She graduated from Spotswood High School. Her passion is for fighting human trafficking, and it developed quickly after she volunteered with the Zion Project. She made her mission to learn about human trafficking and to raise awareness, both on a local and global scale. In 2010, she and her husband, Stephen, had the vision of new creation, and she believes that prayer and education are the solution to the problem of human trafficking and continues to develop concepts that will make an impact. May we notice God's presence with us. May we enter into this time with a willingness to listen to, and to hear what God might be inviting us to. And may we see in fresh ways the importance of Jesus and justice in our lives, for those around us, and for our world.
Good morning, EMU. I am so excited to just share part of my story and really what the Lord has done in and through my life and really the ministry of New Creation. Jesus and justice is one of those things that has just surrounded me, especially in the last few years of my life. But what is justice? It's one of those things that people continuously, my notes are popping up too, so I'm just going to leave it on this slide so you don't have to read through all my sermon notes with me. But you know, justice really is not, the biblical sense of justice isn't the punishment of wrongdoing. Instead, it's our duty of seeing something that's wrong and making it right. That's just my simple definition, is justice really is just making wrong things right. For me, because of the calling of human trafficking, even specifically sex trafficking, it was one of those things that I learned about. And as soon as I knew that there was an issue, I couldn't really just live anymore without coming up with a solution, without seeing something done, without being part of the solution and not part of the problem. Why should we care? You know, when Lana and I were talking about justice, I think the difficult thing is we're not real sure what that looks like, and we're not honestly sure why we should be a part of it. But if we see justice as an action, really it's a love in action, then we know as Christ followers, that's the calling that we have in our life. When we see an orphan or someone who's homeless, we see someone who's hurting, maybe in our classroom that's an outcast, it's that love of Christ that's in us that should compel us to reach out and do something to make it right. The work of justice and love and care, restoration and redeeming, that's who Jesus was. And so if we're following after Christ, if we're looking at his life and saying, how can I imitate that? How can I walk that out? Then justice should be something that we're doing in our everyday life. I love the way that Dr. Cornell West says, never forget that justice is what love looks like in public. When I think about this big global movement of justice, this anti-trafficking movement that I'm a part of, I sometimes wonder, do people really see it as we're just walking out love? This is what I'm called to do. This is what you're called to do, is walking out this love. Jesus himself, of course, was adamant about loving one another, was he not? He says in John 15:12, this is my commandment, love each other in the same way that I have loved you. The very first time that I heard about trafficking was through a young lady who came to our church. She shared about what she was doing in Uganda. She went there for what was supposed to be a two-week mission trip. She saw something that was wrong, these women and children that were displaced through the sex trade. and she couldn't leave until she made it right. She came back to Virginia, told her parents goodbye, and went back to Uganda and lived for 8 years. She started the Zion Project to give a home and a fresh start to women rescued from trafficking. I, at that time, didn't even know what human trafficking was. I had seen the movie Taken, and so I guess in my mind I thought I knew what human trafficking was. I had no idea what it really looked like. And so when we started working with the Zion Project, I kind of wondered, what does this look like? Is this other places? You know, I know this isn't happening in Uganda, but is this in other places? So we started looking at it and found cases in the U.S. I was shocked. Then we found them in Virginia. And then even scarier when we started seeing this was happening in our community and nobody was talking about it. Part of the problem was nobody was seeing it to talk about it and to make it right. But as soon as I figured this out, that this was an issue, it was something that I, like Sarita, who started the Zion Project, couldn't stop until I figured out a solution to make it right. It wasn't this big epiphany, like, I bet I'm going to abandon this great job that I have, and I'm going to start a ministry. I really just was so compelled by my love for Christ and my love for these girls that I had never met. I couldn't sleep. I don't know if you've ever read or heard about an issue that just left you like, I can't do anything except think about this problem, and I just so want to be a part of the solution. But I realized that in the heart of why I was so compelled, that it was my love. In the Message version of the Bible, it's actually 1 Corinthians 13:1 through 7. I adore how they're emphasizing the power and the importance of love. It says, if I speak with human eloquence and angelic ecstasy, but I don't love, I am nothing but the creaking of a rusty gate. If I speak God's word with power, revealing all his mysteries and making everything plain as day, and if I have faith, it says, to a mountain jump, and it jumps, but I don't love, then I am nothing. If I give everything I own to the poor and even go to the stake to be burned as a martyr, but I don't love, I've gotten nowhere. So no matter what I say, what I believe, and what I do, I'm bankrupt without love. I love that because it really is what keeps me going. Trafficking is so dark and so scary, and it's really hard. I meet people who are not Christians that are counteracting and combating this epidemic, and they don't make it very long. It's like a year to 2 years that the average person can stay within this industry of counteracting the problem. And I think it's because they really need to be grounded in that hope and the love of Christ. When we started New Creation, it really was to bring hope to women and boys and girls that had been trafficked. And one of the things very early on was a piece of property in our community. And the Lord really was calling us to this redemption of a piece of property. And I shared with my husband, I think I'm supposed to buy Pamela Secrets, which if you're from this area, you know it's a former pornography shop. My husband laughed and said, I don't think that's probably where he wants us, but let's pray about it and pursue it. I really didn't want to be called to the property either. I kept thinking, can you give me a nice, cute boutique downtown, somewhere safe? I really don't want this building. But God over and over kept revealing his heart behind redemption and justice, and it's all this kind of tangled up web of love that he has for us. He saw that building as something that could be used to bring hope and justice to the community. We saw it as something that needed to be torn down and destroyed because it was too dark. So after many prayers, we did indeed purchase this infamous property. It took 14 months to redeem and restore, but through that process, I really saw what the Lord does in each and every single one of our lives, taking out the bad and replacing it with the good, tearing out the old and replacing it with the new thing that he's doing. And I see that building really too as justice. I see it as something that really was meant to be in our community, to tear it down, to cause discord, to really suck people into a dangerous lifestyle. But the Lord saw it as something that he could use to bring hope and love and justice. That building now holds items that are from 15 different organizations that we work with. These are doing rescue and restoration and recovery of men, women, and children that had been once taken into sex trafficking. And it's just this wonderful, beautiful picture, really, of the kingdom here on earth. You know, we are talking about that song of his will being done. His will really is for us, the bearers of his love, for us, the followers of Christ, to be ushering in his will, to be bringing his kingdom to earth. And I walk in that shop that was once such an embarrassment and see it now as this brilliant light of hope in our community. When we're talking about justice, I work a lot with middle school and high school age children, and it's really to do prevention education. So talking about what are the common lures that traffickers use and how can we protect and prevent it. But part of really what I want to do, I want these kids to catch a glimpse of what I'm doing and then do something with that. I don't want them to just take the information and hold it. I want them to actually step out and do something with it. And so what does justice mean for me and for you and for you and for us as EMU or Harrisonburg or Virginia? You know, what does the work of justice look like if we're actually playing it out in our community? I think it's challenging because when I first started, I really watched what other people were doing and thought, maybe that's what I should be doing. You know, maybe I should be like Sarita, sell all my stuff and move to Uganda. You know, that seemed to work well for her. That made sense. Maybe that's what I should do. But really, I think it's so important for us to stop and pause and get alone with the Lord to see what our specific good work is, that work of justice. Ephesians 2:10 says it this way: "For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." I think we all have been created to do his good works of justice. Good work is justice. Making wrong things right, that is what we are called to do. And I think we have to start seeking the Lord and asking him what that would be. I think part of how I figured out what that was is I started looking back on my life. I didn't understand why I was so drawn to Sarita in this ministry when I had never heard about human trafficking. It kind of seemed strange that I was just so pulled in and drawn in by it. And then I recognized that this heart of justice was something that God had created in me all along. I just didn't know what it was and didn't recognize it. As a child, I remember in the third grade, we learned about the slave trade that built America. And I was so furious that there were people who were bought and traded, sold, and treated like property. Even as a child, I couldn't wrap my brain around it. I would check out book after book about the Underground Railroad, and I would always wonder, if I lived then, what would my role have been? What kind of person would I have been? I remember learning about the Civil Rights Movement and different genocides, the Holocaust, and again, just being so drawn and pulled in, even at a young age, and not understanding why. When my fifth grade friends wanted to go to the mall, I was begging my mom to take me to the Holocaust Museum that had opened. As a child, it made me feel weird, actually, kind of strange that I was so drawn to this dark stuff, these things that were scary to others. I just couldn't stop thinking about them, learning about them, reading about them, wanting to know how I could be a part of it. When I learned about modern-day slavery, I guess I was so shocked to know that we live in a time where there are actually more slaves today than any other time in history. It brings back all those feelings again as a child of how could this be that we live in a society where children are bought and sold, where girls are taken into this industry. But now, as I stand, I realize there's a part that we can all play. I am not going to say that we're all called to be modern-day abolitionists and that human trafficking is the call for everybody's life, because I don't believe that to be so, but I do believe that God has called us all to do his good work of justice and of love. What that looks like might be different. Maybe you have always had a heart for the outcast, for the ones that get bullied and picked on. Maybe your heart is for the homeless, or those who are hungry and in need, or the single moms. You know, everybody, I think, has this something that pings their spirit over and over that kind of draws us in, that makes us kind of get connected with a specific hurt, a specific need. So I think one of the ways that we can begin to walk out justice is by evaluating our passions. What are those things that ping your spirit? You know, I really encourage you to look back. Are there some common thread of things that draw you in that you can't stop thinking about, that you really want to be a solution to the problem? The other thing that I really encourage people is don't compare yourself. The way that I do it and the way that you do it and the way that all these wonderful people who are bringing heaven to earth looks different. For me, I have always looked up to Sarita and wanted to mimic what she was doing. And I realized God created me so individual and you so unique too. And so don't compare yourself. Purchasing a pornography shop was not common and not something that too many ministries were doing. And people really discouraged me in that because it was odd and weird. But I've seen such the transformation in our community. We had a gentleman who came in a few weeks ago. He walked through the doors and we welcomed him in. We knew as soon as he walked through the doors that he was confused. He thought it was still a pornography shop. So he started backing up. And we just said, you know, come in, we're a new creation. This is what we do. Have you been here? And he said, yeah, it looked very different. And I said, yeah. And so we entered into this conversation with this young man who came to purchase pornography. He walked around the building, read articles about what we do, about what the ministries that we work with do. He stayed with us for about a half an hour, and when he walked up to the counter, he was holding a book, and it was a devotional on God's heart for justice. And I thought, where on earth could you walk in to buy pornography and walk out with the word of God? And so don't compare what the Lord is calling you to. If it looks different and weird, don't be discouraged in that. You know, God does things differently in different lives. And we would have missed the boat in a huge way had we walked away from that building on South Main Street. So please, please don't compare yourself. I talk a lot about getting alone with God because really he is the creator of new creation. I just get to be the person that people see as the director and the founder, but really Jesus is the one who founded it. He planted this passion in me and encouraged me every single step of the way. So getting alone with God really is the only way that we can find our purpose and our calling. It is ordained by him, so it's important for us to get alone with him, to pray, to really find somebody else who can join us in prayer. I am very thankful for my husband who, even when he thought I was crazy, still sat down and would pray with me and pray through the process of what this looked like. The other thing that we sometimes don't want to do is just doing something, trying something. We're so terrified to fail in our culture. We're so scared to make a move because if it's the wrong thing, or what if I look stupid, or what if I do it wrong? You know, I've really started to focus on, I am doing this for Jesus. I really, really only want to make him famous and really want to just do his work of love and justice. And if I get it wrong, and if I fail and I mess up, which I've done multiple times in this ministry, I'm still pursuing this path of justice and love of Jesus, and that's not wrong. So doing something, trying something, starting something is better than just idly sitting and waiting and thinking, maybe possibly this could happen. Maybe, you know, God's going to just come down and make this happen. We have to get up and do something. One of my favorite books, I don't know if anybody's heard of Bob Goff. He is this crazy Christian guy who does absurd things in the name of love and justice. He wrote a book called Love Does, and it's full of stories of the different things that he saw wrong in the world and using love to counteract the wrong to make it right. And one of my favorite quotes is, in the end, love doesn't just keep thinking about it or planning for it. Simply put, love does. Justice does, and love does, and Christ does. If we sit by and think, that's for someone else. When I learned about trafficking, I kept telling my husband, somebody ought to do something. This is in our community. We have daughters here. Why is the school, why is the teacher not doing something? Why are we not talking about this in church? Somebody ought to do something. And I said it so much, I have no idea how I missed it. But my husband said, what if you are the somebody who ought to do something? And I thought, you're really bold to say that. It's definitely not for me. You know, I could disqualify myself for 1,001 different reasons why I wasn't the somebody who ought to be doing something. And so really trying to figure out what your something is starts with doing things. We would try something. If it didn't work, we would try something else. And it wasn't that we had this grand formula. I don't have this 5 steps to finding your call, or, you know, four ways to walk out justice. I really do think that it's getting alone with God and trying something, doing something, not idly waiting for somebody else to step in. I want to end in really encouraging everyone to start looking in our community. We have so many wonderful things here that it doesn't even necessarily mean that we have to start something. I see college students or high school students that say, I really think I should start a ministry. I really want to start a nonprofit. Start serving with your church. Get involved with a ministry that's in need. You know, starting somewhere small is really a great step to take. Look in our community and see, is there a need that's not being met that we here at EMU could meet? That a group of students could come together and make something that's wrong right? Teachers, are there students that we could come alongside and encourage in this, their heart and their passion? You know, could we be those people who are cheerleaders instead of discouraging crazy thoughts or, you know, long shot dreams, but really encouraging our students to think big and do big things? We'll close today in the Lord's Prayer. Again, I'm really honored to be here to share my heart, but as we read the Lord's Prayer, I really want to start thinking of these not just words that we're reciting. Sometimes it's like singing a song. We sing a song and we don't even stop to think of the words that we're saying. The Lord's Prayer is rehearsed over and over and over, but I really want it to be something that we stop and really, when we're reading these words, think about the power and what they mean. So if you'll join me, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive them that trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, the glory, forever and ever. Amen.